About 20 years ago, I used to have this fellow I listened to on the radio, and he's since been off the radio for years. And he was talking about a topic one day, and he was talking about one of the most misused words in our language, or at least in our media, one of the most misused words. This was 20 years ago. And he said one of the most misused words in our vocabulary was racism. And so I listened to that. I thought, well, that's interesting. I listened for a while to hear what he had to say and try to understand or gather what it was or where he was coming from with this racism issue and about how it was misused. Well, I have determined now in my life that in 20 years later, it is one of the most misused words in our language. And I think I have taught this in the past. I was teaching this one time in a church. And there was a lot of people there, and I was teaching along, and all of a sudden, this one lady just got up, went to yelling, and just walked out. I was teaching another time, and a man, he said, "I tell you what, I'm not going to come back." And both of them said the same thing as I was teaching this idea of racism and how the Bible talks about it, how the Bible feels about it, how God feels about it. The one is she got up and stormed out the door. She said they can go to their church. It's right down the street. She said this as she stormed out the door. And the other man said the same thing, but he said it at home. He said, "I'm not going to go to church with those folks." Racism defined is the idea that because of our race, we become superior. That because of my race, it makes me superior to another race. Now, that is a true statement if we apply it the correct way, that I, as a human being, I am superior to a dog. I, as a human being, I'm superior to a cow. I'm superior to a bird. I'm superior to everything on this globe except for another person. The problem with this idea, and I want to say this as I start, I'm not a scientist. How many of you understand that and know that? I'm not a scientist. I'm just a pastor is all I am. And people talk about this. I even had some of these ideals in the past, but that the Bible says in Genesis 1, verse 26 and 27, I want to read this to you. It says that, "And God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over the cattle and over all of the earth and every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth." In verse 27, "So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him, male and female created he them." So here's the thing. How many of you understand that when we read this verse or this text that we're talking about two people? Look at your neighbor and say, two people. We're talking about two people. We're not talking about 2 million people. We're talking about two people. Man and a woman was created. And as a result of that creation, you and I exist. How many of you know that the aliens didn't step in about 3 million years ago and change it into what it is right now? You know that. So Jeanette knows that because I made her watch the show. Ancient Aliens. I made her watch it. So she'd know. I wanted to be educated. But the thing was, is there wasn't something that came along later and changed this so that it turned us into something else. The problem with racism is that there's only one race. We're the human race. We don't have, because someone's skin color may be high yellow, one may be dark, one may be in the middle somewhere, that doesn't make it a separate race. We cannot separate the human population into races. The reality of it is we are started with two and nothing changed from that point. So there's impossible for there to be more than one race. You say, well, how did people from the European states or the Middle Eastern states and Asian, how did they get, they all look alike? Or how about the folks from down in Africa? They all look alike. How about all the folks from around the Ukraine and in Russia and all them folks? They all look alike. How does that happen? How does it happen that it had to be evolution? We had to evolve. Well, we understand that evolution in animals doesn't work. They say, well, hold on. I thought animals evolved. No. The reality of it is we have three or four examples, one of which, how many of you know what a giraffe is? Okay. A giraffe. A giraffe was impossible for a giraffe to evolve into what it is. Because the first time that a giraffe with a head that size and a neck that long was knelt down getting a drink of water, and a lion walks up in front of it and it throws its head up and tears out running, it would pass out because all the blood had gone to its head. Well, how do they overcome that? Oh, a giraffe is a cool thing. Has a sponge in its head. That's cool. Now, I'm not a scientist. I'm just telling you what it is. He's got a sponge in his head. How many ever been outside and you heard a woodpecker? You notice all birds don't do that. The first time a woodpecker pecked a tree, it would have killed him. He would have not been able to develop into anything else. Instead, he has a cushion around his brain that when he pecks on a tree, it does not kill him. Evolution doesn't work. We still today, and you would think all the things that we've sought and seen and been around, we would have found that missing link. We haven't. Now, I thought I went to high school with him, but that wasn't him. You may say amen. He was close, but it just wasn't him. And then I had that neighbor, and you know that guy. You know what I'm saying? And so the reality of it is these things, we begin to talk about this. Well, how did that happen? Well, here's what happens, and here's a scientific explanation of why we all look different. It's really more about isolating mutations. So we all go to we take 1,000 people and we put them over here on an island or whatever we do, and they begin to multiply and breed and all these things, however you want to call it. We begin to have babies and all these things. And what happens is in this group of people, there is a strong gene. This strong gene, maybe that they have high yellow skin. This strong gene, maybe that they have dark skin. And what happens over time, how many of you have ever had a miniature dog in your house? How do you think they made that? They took a group of dogs, took them over here, isolated the small ones, began to breed those small ones, and as a result, they get these deals. So Jeanette has caught on to this. She's trying to get another outside dog for me. And, yeah, I like Labradors. I always have. Always liked Labradors. We had Labradors till I got tired of having dogs. I don't like having little children that never grow up, and that's all a dog is, or a cat. So I didn't like that. So now she liked her Weimaraner. Well, he was silver and beautiful. Now they have a silver Labrador. She thinks now she's found a way in. Silver Labrador. How do you get that? You have a Labrador that's silver. You begin to breed that silver Labrador until you create another silver Labrador. Then you breed that Labrador with that silver Labrador, and before you know it, you got silver Labradors. That's how it works. We did it. We understand exactly when it comes to cattle. We created things like the Beefmaster and different things like this, beefaloes and all these things. We understand it in cattle. But here's the thing. That to have a very generic definition of how that we're different, how that we look different. Nowadays, it's not like it used to be, because now you can get on a plane 8 hours, you can be almost anywhere on another continent or whatever. It's different. Back when we didn't have the ability to travel that much, then you would isolate these strong genes, and that's why the people there look like they do. That's why I look like I do. I guess we isolated a gene somewhere where all of us Irish were just mad. I mean, we just get up mad, we go to bed mad. Joe knows what I'm talking about. We just get up mad, we go to bed mad. I mean, we're just always mad. So we isolated that gene. And so that is a real generic way of explaining that. Now, if you want to get Bill Nye, the science guy, which isn't a scientist, by the way, he's an engineer, he's not a scientist. He doesn't have any science background except for what they showed him on TV. And so I'm just giving you my idea of how this thing works. So how does the Bible feel about racism? And that's why I want to talk to you about it. It's important that we, the church, understand racism, because it's today, if I disagree with Tyler, then I'm racist. If I disagree with Jeanette, I'm racist. If I disagree with someone that looks different than me, if our philosophies don't line up completely, I'm a racist. And that's simply wrong. That's not the way that works. Racism, there's a lot of people that are prejudiced. There's a few people that are racist, and these people are just crazy. There's a lot of people that are prejudiced. Now, we have prejudice and all these things, and we discriminate and all these different things, not just on skin color, but on economics and all those things. So here's the thing. How does the Bible feel about that? Well, here's the first problem with racism in the Bible. We just read the text that in the beginning, we were all made in God's image. I read something, or somebody posted, maybe Debbie posted this on Facebook, that we've got to be careful how we treat people, because every person you meet is a person that God felt like they were worth dying for. every person we meet is a person that God valued enough that he was willing to die for them. He didn't make exception. He didn't die for a group. There's a church not far from here that they're teaching a doctrine that comes from from a misunderstanding of the scripture. They're teaching a doctrine called the elect, or they believe that there's a certain group of people that are going to make it to heaven and no one else, and God's already picked it. You can live how you want, do what you want, whatever the case. You're either going to make it or you're not. The reality is that's not true. God died for every person without exception. There's no exception to the rule. He didn't die for all the A's, didn't die for the B's, and then died for the C's. He died for everybody. So the thing is in God created all of us in his image. We all started from one place as two people, and we moved from there to where we are today. So the problem with the Bible and racism is you can't fit it in there. Now, a lot of people want to take the Bible and begin to try to think, well, the Bible says this about not interbreeding. And I had a man come to me and said, well, I'm telling you, this is why Mexicans and Americans and Ethiopians and Americans and all these, they shouldn't intermix because the Bible says that they shouldn't do it. So he reads me this verse out of the Old Testament. It's talking about the Jewish people. Now, how many of you understand that the things that we read in the Old Testament, Paul said were examples to us or in samples? He called it examples was a better explanation. So we begin to see that, and God was trying to separate a people. And he did make that kind of a charge, but that didn't carry into the new covenant. That didn't carry into the New Testament. It's no part of the new covenant. Is there anything there that would keep you from marrying anyone or being in a relationship with anyone that you want to except an unbeliever? The Bible does caution us about having relationships with unbelieving people if we're believers, but not cautions us from having relationships with Irish people because they're always mad. You know, they warned me when I was a kid. Daddy said, don't you ever date a redheaded girl. They're always mad. He said, they're always mad. So that's the thing, guys. We've got to understand that in the beginning, we started out all as one. And when you begin to talk about this racism idea, as far as the scripture is concerned, you can't equate that out in the scripture because we all started as two people. The second thing the Bible is clear on is the Bible is clear on all of us without exception. We're born and our image was tainted without exception. There's a church, it's not a church, it's actually listed in America as a cult that believes that black people are black because God cursed them. Now that's sad. That's sad. That we could even come up with that idea, that we could even then repeat it. It's one thing to think a thought like that, Jim, but it's another to say it. You know what I'm saying? It's one thing to have a crazy thought, but it's another thing when you say it and they made it part of their doctrine. And those people cannot be part of their church because they believe that that was what happened to Cain when God cursed him, made him a black man. What nonsense. So the thing is when we begin to understand how the Bible feels about racism, we're just this single group of lost people. That's how the Bible sees this. We're all one single group of lost people without any exceptions to the rule. That we just, as a result of us being born into this existence of man, we were all born fallen and we all needed a Savior. Here's what the Bible goes on to say in Romans. It says it this way in 3 and verse 10. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understand. There is none that seek after God. They are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. Their throat is an open sepulcher, a grave, and with their tongues they have used deceit. The poison of asp or snakes is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursings and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their way, and the way of peace have they not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. Now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world world may become guilty before God. Therefore, by the deeds of the law shall no flesh be justified in his sight, but by the law is the knowledge of sin. Man, that was cute, wasn't it? That was a nice, encouraging verse. What it helps us to understand is we're all in the same situation. Not some of us, because I was born in a Christian home. My mother was baptized in the Holy Ghost when she was 12 years old and has never had a day when she wasn't living for God. That her father was a pastor. My father was a pastor. But you know what? That does not give me any special treatment. He said, because we're all in this condition, we all find ourselves in the same place. And as a result of that, he said, we all need the same thing. We're all a fallen people. I did a little study and did a little reading in some different books that people use and call. We call ours the Bible. They call theirs by different names to find racism. It's found in these other books. But the Bible, it's not there. It's not found in the Bible because we understand that we cannot discriminate because we're all in the same situation that we all, except for the grace of God, we're in a lost situation. That old saying, except by the grace of God, there go I. It's true. So I think it helps us to get perspective that we would understand what it is that God is talking about when we understand this race thing. There is no such thing as race. There's no such thing as race. Romans 5 verse 12 says it this way. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin. And so death passed upon all men. For that all have sinned. Look at your neighbor and say, all. For into the law sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed where there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression. He said, even after those that didn't do what Adam did. It didn't matter that they didn't do it exactly like Adam, that they could say, well, I didn't do that, Adam. Or it's like when you talk to your children and they say, well, why'd you do that? He said, well, they did something worse than I did. He says, because you didn't do it like Adam, that didn't change anything. In verse 15, but not as the offense, so also is the free gift. For if through the offense of many be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abounded unto many. Listen, guy, we all are in the same situation. We're all in the same case. It doesn't matter where we're from, what part of the world we're from, what socioeconomic group that we're from, what political party we're from. We're all in the same situation. We all find ourselves fallen, and we all find ourselves fallen as a result of just being born. You didn't even have to do anything. You just came into this world and you're fallen as a result of that. So when we begin to understand how it is that the Bible views this racism idea, and I'm saying this because this is something I, as a pastor, and maybe this is my rant or my soapbox, I'm tired of hearing. Just because we disagree does not mean I'm racist towards you. Just because we don't see things eye to eye does not mean I'm racist towards you. The fact that you're Irish, you're German, you're Indian, whatever the case. That's not it. Because there's no such thing. I couldn't. Here's the reality of it. We have created a word called racism for something that doesn't even exist. It can't exist. I can't believe my race is superior to yours because you're exactly like me. We have so few chromosomes different between me and a person from Africa, Asia, whatever the case. And the reality of it is I have so few chromosomes different from me and an orangutan. We're not that far apart. I say amen. So we can understand this. We all find ourselves in the same situation, the same thing, coming out at the same point. Now, here's something that has to happen. This has bothered me from the beginning of my pastorate, but I understand it. We go in areas of our town. I'm talking about Fort Smith. We go in areas of Fort Smith, and you know this, and these areas now, we have areas that are mainly Hispanics. We have areas now, I'm an engineer, we're in one the other day, sold a home the other day to a group that were Laotian, but it's that Middle Eastern, and it seems like they're all kind of coming together. Well, You go out there on Mount Zion in Greenwood, there's this area out there that has a whole group of people that are all alike. They're all the Joneses. We all look alike, we act alike, we even think alike, I'm telling you. So here's the problem. We all gang up with people that look like us, think like us, act like us. And it sometimes grieves me that our churches aren't that way. But the reality of it is our churches are different than our communities. We go to churches where people look like us. People act like us. They talk like us. They even speak our language. We went to Finland here the other day, and I got over there. One of the most difficult things is when you found somebody that couldn't speak English. It made me mad. Why don't you know English? Well, they're in Finland. They're wondering why you don't know Finnish. The thing is, guys, is the reality of it is us as believers, look at your neighbor and say, as believers. Now ask them, say, are you a believer? We're all one. If we're believers, we're all one. And that's what the Bible teaches. The Bible teaches us, look at this. The Bible teaches in Galatians 3 and verse 28, there is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither bond nor free, there's neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. Galatians 3 and verse 28. So when we begin to talk about, now it was cool talking about the world, that's cool. It's cool talking about our politicians, man. We need to wear them folks out every chance we get. But then they tell us now that one of the most lucrative jobs in America is a politician. We go in, make $170,000 a year, we leave with $20 million, and that is actually how this works. It's one of the most lucrative things in America. I think we should wear them folks out every day. But here's the thing, guys. When we're talking about us as believers, we're the same. Just because they don't go to our church or we don't go to their church, we might say, or a church that has those kind of folks in, I think it's interesting. We go down, I'm old enough now, I went down Gene Lynn, over there on Gene Lynn, down about M Street, there's a Vietnamese Baptist church. I remember when that was just a regular old Baptist church. I remember that. I remember when it was just a regular old Baptist church. Well, now it's a Vietnamese Baptist church. That don't make it less Baptist because they're signed now. They got some of the coolest dragons out front. Isn't that cool? Cut out of their hedges. It's like, why can't we get some of that? Get ahead. But they're just Baptist folks. But they ain't different. They're just believers. But if I walked in there and I was in there this morning, just like you're here this morning, I wouldn't understand a word they say. Some of them say, well, I'm looking at you, I don't understand much what you're saying. But the thing is, at least we're speaking the same language, huh? You can listen to it on the radio later, or on the internet later. Maybe you can get it figured out. But I can listen to it all day and I can't get it. There's nothing wrong with that. But in the church, we're the same. In the church, we're one. We're not groups. We're not sects and all these things as far as we got a sect of people over here and a sect of people over here. That's not how it is. Then I read in the book of Revelations. That's a cool book. I read in the book of Revelations how that they're standing there by the thousands in their robes that they've made white. They're not standing over here in the black folk with the white robes and Asian folk with the white robe. They're just all there. I don't know. I can't, my mind doesn't work. The Bible says it won't be able to work that way. John Hagin said it this way. He said that if a dove flew over the highest mountain with a handkerchief in his mouth and rucked it over the top of the highest mountain in the world, he said at the time that it would take for him to fly over that and to wear that down flat, he said one day has passed in eternity. I can't even hardly get my mind around that. It sounds like a long time. But the thing is, if I can't stand to be around a group now, how am I going to live there for an eternity with that group? Now, the Bible says, I guess we're all going to be white there. Well, I know God's white. What? Who said that? I know God's white. I don't question my mind. Who said that? I mean, you got to be. He doesn't got to be anything. The Bible does say that God is light and He's love. I do know that. But here's the thing, guys. I'm expecting to spend an eternity there. We need to bury some of these things here in this short 70, 80, 90 now years that we get to live here. We need to bury some of these things here because we have an eternity. I don't mind that you live in a neighborhood of people that look like you. I don't mind that at all. I'm not mad at you. I understand. I did it myself. But the thing is when we get to heaven, I'm not sure there'll be white neighborhoods, black neighborhoods, or, you know, I'm not sure about that. But the thing is, guys, is in Christ, in the church, We are all one. We're not individuals. We're all one. Or we are individuals to God, but we're all one group. So racism in the Bible just can't fit. The reason I would say this is because believers can't do this. First of all, if you believe that you are a superior race, you've been lied to, and you need to hear what I'm saying and say there's no such thing as more than one race. There's just us. There's just us. Had a friend, a family member actually, had a DNA test done the other day. He was going to prove his nationality. When he got it back, he was mad. Because he wasn't what he thought he was. He may look like it on the outside, but he really wasn't what he thought he was. He was less that than he thought. Interesting that sometimes now we have the ability to uncover our own prejudices. It's like the idea that Hitler had 6 million Jews killed and he was Jewish himself. Hard to imagine. Hard to imagine. Let me finish with this. In the Old Testament, in Genesis 11, verse 7, in Genesis 11, verse 7, there's a story that you've all heard. I want to read a portion of this to you. It says, let us go down and there confound their languages, that they may not understand one another's speech. This is God speaking. We can imagine that there's a conversation happening in heaven. So the Lord scattered them abroad from thence upon the face of the earth, and they left off to build the city. How many of you understand that God, on the level of IQ, is way up on top? How many understand that? I mean, he's at least halfway, at least. Got to be. But either way, he's way up on the list. And so he had an opportunity to confound languages and move masses of people. I don't know. Did he pick out this one's going to speak this, this is going to speak this, this is going to, I believe he did. And so when we talk about why does this one look like this one and this one look like the other one, I believe this had something to do with it. I believe that God moved us on purpose. You say, well, this group of people are so suited for the climate that they're in. I wonder if God had anything to do with that on this day. What's your thoughts? You think God possibly, if he knows the hairs of your head, he knows the chromosomes in your body? He knows what your DNA looks like, and he can put like people together and move them in a direction that he wants them to go in. I think that's a cool idea. Verse 9, therefore, in the name of it is now called Babel, or to Babel is where we get this Babel thing. So this is the point where the separation of groups was a curse. It was a curse found in the Old Testament. At the Tower of Babel. The reason God did that is because everybody was living together. He told them, he said, I want you to go in all the world and replenish it. He said, I want you to go out there, have babies and do all those things and go out there. Possibly his idea in the beginning was that we would all speak one language. The whole world would just be one group of people, that we all were the same, spoke the same language, all these things. But the problem was, is just like we are today, we just simply won't split up because we like being together. And so God, finally they said, what we're going to do, they got so smart, we're going to build a tower all the way to heaven. We're going to be gods, our own God, because there's so many of us, we all speak the same language. And God's answer to that was to curse them by confusing their languages. He confused their languages. But here's the next thing. In the New Testament, in Acts 2 and verse 5, it says, there was dwelling at Jerusalem Jews, devout men out of every nation under heaven. Now when this was noised abroad, the multitude come together and were confounded, because that every man heard them speak in his own language. And they were all amazed and marveled, saying one to another, behold, are not all of these which speak Galatians? Galileans, I'm sorry. And how hear we every man in our own tongue wherein we were born? In the new covenant, we have a removal of the curse. In the new covenant on the day of Pentecost, what we did is we removed the curse that separated us, and God inserted what would bring us all back together. So the Old Testament had a curse of separation. The New Testament has a blessing of unity. So how does God feel about racism? First of all, it doesn't exist. Secondly, he made a blessing that would put us all back together. So when you hear this and when you hear people say this, I don't recommend that you get in their face and tell them that they don't know what they're talking about when you hear this, but please understand, when they make these kind of statements that him or her are racist, please understand it's impossible to be racist.